Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And then a verse in the New Testament, in the first epistle to Thessalonians. It's on page 1427. Thessalonians, the first epistle of Thessalonians, chapter 1 and verse 9. And it says, for they themselves relate concerning us what entering in we had to you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to await his Son from the heavens, whom he raised from among the dead, Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. In this first verse I've read in Isaiah, we find that persons are going in the wrong direction. We have turned everyone to his own way. In the second scripture I read, we come across persons who also had been going in the wrong direction, but they came to a turning point. And they turned from going in the wrong direction, and their feet began to travel on the right direction. I'm speaking tonight about coming to a turning point and going in the right direction. Some years ago, before the days of motorways in Scotland, there was a businessman who was in the south of Scotland heading to Glasgow, but he lost his way. And he stopped at a place and asked a road mender if he could tell him the way to Glasgow. And the road mender, very obliging, gave him details of how to get to Glasgow. And he was thanked for it. And then the road mender said to the businessman, but can I ask you, sir, do you know the way to heaven? You children know the way to heaven? And the man said, no, I don't know. And the road mender just said this simple message. Jesus said, I am the way. And when you leave this preaching tonight, just take that away with you. There's one way to heaven, and it's through the Lord Jesus. Well, the man carried on, and he did his business in Glasgow, and then he headed south, and before he reached his destination in London, he was involved in a serious accident, the result of which he was taken to the hospital, and his injuries meant that there was no hope for him. He called his family, or his family were called, and he spoke to them and set his affairs in order, and after a little while died. And some days after his funeral, his two sons appeared at the place where the road mender had spoken to their father. And they tracked down the road mender, and they thanked him for witnessing to the father and telling him about the road to heaven. And he wanted them to know, this is the father, the man who died, wanted them to know that he'd found the way to heaven. And in their language, that's where he was now. Now, dear friends, the gospel message brings us all to a turning point, a deciding point, you know. And that deciding point will determine whether you turn in the direction of heaven, find the way to heaven, or whether you continue on your own way. We all like our own way. Children like to take their own way. But it's not just children. Older ones like to take their own way as well. But there's only one way to heaven, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here where I've read, it mentions, and this is a famous verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. You watch sheep, and if one finds a gap in the fence, it'll make its way through the fence, and it won't be lonely very long. Others will follow. And you know, that's the story of us all, that we have all followed our own way. And what was our own way? Our own way began way back at the beginning of the Bible when Adam and Eve listened not to God, they listened to Satan. And they followed his direction, his way, and they became sinners. And you know, that stain of sin has come right down. Every generation subsequent to Adam and Eve, and each person in every generation has been classified as a sinner, unable to do anything about it. Each, it says, we have turned everyone to his own way. I want to stress this point as to turning. It's a definite action. Turned to our own way. And here we are in modern times, many, many centuries since Adam first sinned. And tell me, is it any different? Do you children take your own way? Do you prefer your own way? Do you older ones prefer your own way? And if we're honest, we do. But that is the way of sin. How does this verse finish? This chapter is a lovely chapter, and it's telling, looking forward and telling the story of the Lord Jesus, the one who came here and the one who was known here as the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, the one who, of whom it is said, he is born of griefs, carried our sorrows. We did regard him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And so on. And that's the one. It says of Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. None of us could get rid of the shackles of sin and all the consequences of sin. None of us could simply shake them off and say, well, tomorrow I'll turn over a new leaf and I'll be better. It doesn't work. It involved that someone had to take on the matter of sin and settle that matter before a holy and righteous God. Who could take that on? So many persons have lived in this world. Was any of them worthy? Was any of them able to take on this burden of sin and settle it to the satisfaction of a holy God? Not one. Go through the history books. Many characters of in history that have achieved so much, but they were all sinners. They had each taken their own way. But here was one in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom God had sent into the world, his own Son. And he not only lived a life which involved healing and blessing of God's creature, but it meant that he went to the cross of Calvary, and where you and I couldn't solve the question of sin, and where you and I couldn't get rid of our sins, he laid a basis at Calvary's cross, so that by trusting in the Lord Jesus and trusting in his finished work, you can be clear of your sins completely, and you can be heading in a new direction. You can be heading in a direction that leads to heaven where Jesus is. That's the positive side of the glad tidings, that you don't need to wait till you're old. You don't need to wait till you're a teenager or older or an old person like some of us. you can find the way, the right direction tonight, where you're sitting in your seat, by opening your heart, opening your whole being, asking the Lord Jesus by faith to become yours, your Savior for now and for all eternity. That's the simple message in the gospel. You think of this Blessed One who was here in perfection, the Lord Jesus. And he went to Calvary's cross, having done so much good. The Bible tells me that. He went about doing good, healing those who were oppressed of the devil. He went about doing good, but that Blessed One offered himself to God as a substitute for my sins, as a substitute for your sins if you trust him. And you know, that offering was accepted. But do you know what it involved for the Lord Jesus? It involved that God's judgment, the judgment that he had on sin, was poured out on the head of the Lord Jesus. And he bore it all. He was given a work to do. He took that work on. And he finished it at Calvary's cross. But oh, at what a cost. What suffering. That there at Calvary's cross, he faced up to the judgment of God. If you read the Gospels, the cry is heard, my God, the same God that he had been in dependence on in his life here, the same God that he'd communion with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I'll tell you, friend, why he was forsaken. He was forsaken because of sin. And he was forsaken because of my sins. That's the Savior that I present to you tonight. And you can have him in your heart and in your life if you simply ask him by faith to come into your life now. He shed, he not only bore that judgment, but the witness to all that he's done is seen in that his blood was shed at Calvary's cross. Precious blood poured out. Yes, the soldier came and pierced the side, and out with came blood and water. But it's there as a witness that God's claims have been met as far as sin is concerned. And that blood, you can come tonight and plead the blood of Christ and find that's the only basis on which God can offer you a full and free forgiveness. Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You know, when the Lord Jesus was here, and this is a little story that's told in the Gospels, he tells a story of a man who had a vineyard, and he had two children. And he said to one of his children one day, I want you to go and work in my vineyard. And the child thought about it. And he said, no, I'm not going. Maybe we've all been like that at times and said to our parents, no, I'm not doing it. But you know, after a little while, this child changed his mind. He repented and he went. That's the secret of blessing. Repentance and towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man said to the other child, I want you to go and work in my vineyard. He said, yes, I'll go. But then he changed his mind and he didn't go. Friend, if you change your mind tonight and come in repentance, the feet of Jesus, and ask for his blessing, his forgiveness of your sins, you'll find that the blessing of the gospel will flow into your heart and into your life. He's done everything for you. Won't you come and yield your heart to the Lord Jesus tonight? I've also read about these persons in the first epistle of Thessalonians. Now, they didn't know the Lord Jesus at one point. Like us all, they took their own way. And that way for them was that they had idols and they worshipped idols. And I don't know that they'd ever heard the gospel until Paul came to Thessalonica, and he preached the gospel 3 Sabbaths in a row. And what did he preach about? He reasoned with him and he laid down that this person I'm speaking of, the Lord Jesus, had suffered, he had died, but he rose again. And this was the person who was Paul was offering, God was offering as a savior for these persons. Now Paul, some years after, is writing this letter to these very folk. And what's he saying? He says, what entering in we had to you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. Now, I'm not saying that any of us have a wooden or a stone idol that we've worshipped, but there's other things that come up in our lives that we idolize, and I'm no different from anybody else. And these persons here, when they heard about the Lord Jesus and what he'd done at Calvary, they took a new direction. This blessed person whom Paul had preached to them, they said, I want that. And they gave up their idols. They laid them aside. And it says, have ye turned to God? Another turning point. Oh, to reach a turning point as the gospel is presented and decide and from that turning point that it's going to be Christ and Christ for me. Oh, that we might all leave this gospel preaching tonight once again saying, I want Christ. You know, the story is well known about the widow woman who lived in the attic in London with just the bare necessities and London all heaving round about them. And there she was, dying in that attic. And what were her words? I have Christ. What want I more? The greatest possession that you and I can have is to have the knowledge of Christ in our hearts and in our lives. And if you have that knowledge of Christ, your life takes on a new color. It says, they turn from idols to serve a living and true God. Did you stop there? No. Paul must have told them about something more about this person. And to await his Son from the heavens, whom he raised from among the dead, Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. The Jesus who suffered and died at Calvary's cross and arose again and was exalted at God's right hand. The other part of the story is that he's coming again. Is he coming for you? Is he coming for me? He will be if I know them by faith as my personal Savior. How many people in this world are waiting for him and his coming again? Jesus, our deliverer. But it says, our deliverer from what? From the coming wrath. You see, judgment is going to come on this world. When the Lord Jesus was here, now, he said, now is the judgment of this world. That judgment is held up. And because it's held up, we live in the day of divine grace. But there'll come a day when the day of divine grace is over. The last opportunity to respond to the grace of God will be given. And what will you face then? If you've rejected the Savior, if you've rejected the Lord Jesus, the coming wrath of God, the wrath of God, everyone will have to do with Jesus, whether as a result of responding to divine grace, and if not, and accepting him as Savior, or on the coming day, bowing the knee to the Lord Jesus, not as a Savior, but as a judge. There you have it in simplicity. Today, he's a Savior. Tomorrow, it might be a judge. There he is then, whom he raised from among the dead, to await his Son from the heavens, whom he raised from among the dead, Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. These persons, having responded to the gospel, were longing to see the Lord Jesus. That's what they're longing for. And you know, Those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus, we'll be saying in ourselves that we're looking forward to seeing him, and that's true. But is it really vital in my life? Is it something that shines in my life, out in my life, that I'm waiting for the one who suffered and died for me at Calvary's cross? He's coming soon, but at the moment, he's offered to each one of us as a Savior and a friend. Will you take him tonight? Or will you say, well, I'll wait a bit. I'll put it off. Oh, friend, he's available tonight. He might not be available tomorrow or the next day. Make your peace with God and find Christ as your personal Savior tonight. May God bless the world.